we're going to celebrate and rejoice in this incredible gift. Because, of course, we gather together this Christmas Eve to remember that gift, the greatest gift that could be ever given. I mean, God giving up his one and only son. And not forcing him. You know, you ever have your kids do anything? You know, it's like pulling teeth. You know, like my daughter who just, she had to have a kitty for her birthday this July. She got one. We went over all the responsibilities. And the fact you have to feed them and change the litter box, I mean, you think it would be torture, you know? I mean, she'd rather go down to, you know, Armstrong County Prison and spend some time than change the litter box. It's pulling teeth. But unlike that, Jesus came willingly. Jesus came willingly. He desired to come to be tempted and tried, weak just like us, and overcome it all. He wanted to make a way for us just to be with him. I mean, how incredible is that gift, to give up his own life for us? You know, but the reality is, at Christmas time, it's so easy to forget about the things that matter, right? It's so, so easy. We get so overwhelmed by so many things, especially this time of year. And it can be so difficult at times that it becomes easy to lose perspective and to get our priorities out of proper alignment, right? And this time of year especially, because we get so busy. You know, we've got to, you know, we made a list. We had to check it twice, make sure we got that perfect gift for everybody. You know, we had to check out our calendars and make sure that we were able to give all of our families, you know, enough time, you know, with each of us. You know, making sure you get just the right food and, you know, I mean, you force time, you know, and you're already busy schedules to get together with friends and family. You know, most of us, we even make time for those Cousin Eddies in our lives, don't we? You know, I mean, it's Christmas time, so you take a hit for the team and you get together. We want to make sure that everything is just right and that no detail is forgotten about. And for some of us type A personality types, you know, and your spouses, you know how difficult that can be and how wearing it can be this time of year. Christmas, which is supposed to be one of the most joyous, peaceful times of the year, when you can just rest in the presence of God, be comforted by him. We sing about, you know, that silent night, you know, but if we want to be honest, most of our nights at our houses around Christmas time probably don't look anything like that, right? I mean, let's be honest with each other. I don't think it was a silent night. These are cute little Christmas songs that we sing, but if you take a look at the biblical account, I mean, in a manger, you know, giving birth. Anybody ever hear a silent birth? I mean, come on now. I was in there with all three of my kids, and there was nothing silent or quiet or cute and cuddly about it. I got to be honest, you know. In a manger with all these animals. I mean, come on. It was not silent. You know, the baby Lord Jesus, he was a baby, okay? He made some crying, okay? So anyways, but I love singing songs. But the reality is, we're supposed to embrace the peace and joy. And we talked about those things the last few weeks, this time of the year. But unfortunately, because we book ourselves so busy and we stress ourselves so much, you know, the smallest little thing can easily take us from rejoicing and peace to being pushed just beyond our breaking point, right? Anybody ever been there? You know, it might look a little something like this. So anybody ever have those Christmas moments, right? You know, everything is just going perfectly. You got all the family together. You got everything's going just the way you planned it. Anybody ever expect those Christmas bonuses and they just didn't happen unexpectedly this year? I know our family had been there. I'm like, okay, for, you know, the last 8 years, we got a Christmas bonus, and you should have kind of gave us a heads up about that, you know? Yeah, but Christmas time is supposed to be the most joyous of all times, and then the slightest little thing can just push us right over the edge, right? You know, and then the people that we love, we're not so loving toward. I mean, let's be honest with each other, you know? But this morning, we come together to break through all of that, to break through all of that, and to allow God to restore his joy. Don't you love that God is the God of restoration? That he can restore his joy, he can restore his peace to any marriage, any family, any household. It can be a family of peace once again. God's able to do all these things. And so we come this morning to trade in our frustrations for God's peace, to trade in our disappointments in life for the hope of Christ. We come this morning to trade in sickness for healing, right? That's another reason Christ came, and to trade in our bitterness that we may have towards some family members and friends for forgiveness. Just to release those things and let them go. Those are the greatest gifts of Christmas. The greatest gifts that could ever be offered. And so we meet once again to trust in Jesus And not just partially, but to fully hand our lives over to Him, to hand over all these situations. We come together to remember that age-old prophecy that changes everything. Unto us, a child is given, and unto us, a child is born. That short little prophetic word that changes everything in our lives. Because in the midst of all this chaos and drama and conflict, we all need this kind of reminder this time of year, right? Right? We all need those reminders. Christmas is not about the gifts and the food and the family and friends and you know, all the hustling and bustling about. Christmas is about Jesus. You know, and in our ever-growing, darkening culture, we're losing sight of that. You know, we're losing sight of what Christmas is truly all about. That's why it's awesome to gather together here this morning, to think about that reality, the very Word of God, the very presence of God, Lord of Lords and Kings of Kings, wrapped in flesh, weak and tempted and tried, just like you and I. In fact, the Word of God says that we have a great high priest who is able to empathize with us because he was tempted in every way that we're tempted, weak in every way that we are weak. And yet he overcame every single time, right? And through Jesus, we also can overcome. You know, Jesus, who, not only was he humbled in weakness, but he was entrusted to a couple of poor young teenagers, right, engaged to be married. Can you imagine trusting such a great gift to that couple? Yet God chose to do exactly that. Jesus, the greatest gift that we could ever receive, born in a manger, and yet he is the joy of the world, the greatest, most precious, priceless gift that anyone could ever receive. The birth of Jesus, it is perhaps the most generous and loving acts in all of mankind's history. In fact, John writes here in the book of 1 John, chapter 4, verse 9 through 11, and he reminds us that this is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we all might live through him. This is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us, right? Because think about that. God's easy to love. I mean, he's forgiving and compassionate and forgiving and merciful and, you know, all these wonderful, awesome things. But let's be honest with each other. We're hard to love. I have a hard time loving myself sometimes, you know. Some of the bonehead things that we do, some of the attitudes that we have, we are hard to love. And that is love. Not that we love God, but that God first loved us. And he sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Dear friends, since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. Because through Jesus, not only do we find eternal life, but we also find an abundant life beginning here and now. That's when eternal life begins. His desire is to be with us. And that desire is so strong that he himself paved a way where there simply was no other way, just to be with us. To forgive us of our sin, to wipe away everything that stands in between us. You guys know how difficult relationships are, and you probably have people in your lives that it's so hard to forgive and just let the past go, and just to wipe those things clean. It's exactly what God did for us. Right? Our sins as far as the east is from the west, to the bottom of the ocean floor. If you tried to go and swim and dredge back up your sins, you'd die trying. That's how God loves us. And he says, since he loved us in that way, so ought we love one another. God's great, great love. Wow. God's only Son, the living Word of God, giving as a gift for you and I. John chapter 1, verse 14 reminds us of this reality. And John was the poetic guy, you know, of the disciples. And he wrote, "The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son who came from the Father, full of grace and truth." Full of grace and truth. That's the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's an awesome reality that while we were still grinching through life, while we were still so hard to love, while we were still caught up in all of our conflict and drama and strife, like a hurricane inside of our lives, God still loved us. And he still chose to give up his Son for us. Because God sees us not only as we are, but also as the person he created us to be. Christmas is absolutely unstoppable because the love of God is unstoppable. Amen. The reality, the true meaning of Christmas, the strength to overcome all things It means truly embodied, but through Jesus Christ, the strength to overcome absolutely anything that comes our way. And of course, we know that it's only through Jesus Christ that someone can be that radically transformed. That radically transformed from the inside out. And I love the prophetic words that God promised not only to mold and shape our hearts, He promised to remove our heart of stone and to give us a heart of flesh. Moreover, He promised to give us a heart of flesh and accompanied by the Holy Spirit, to place His Spirit within our lives. Isn't that awesome? While we were still Grinches, God loved us so much that He had planned to replace those hearts and to radically transform us into a new creation, that we can overcome all things in life, right? 1 John chapter 5, verse 5, who is it that overcomes the world? Only the one who believes that Jesus is the Son of God. It's all about the birth of Jesus, because it's only through Him that we can overcome all things in life. It's only through Jesus that a person can be faced, we talked about this a few weeks ago, with certain imprisonment. A totaled car, a sick child, a failed business, a wrecked marriage, a teacher that is just on his case, right? Is her husband ready to punch his lights out, right? As well as the single individual that caused it all, to face that person with unspeakable joy, right? Only can Jesus make something like that happen, right? Only through Jesus can we face the most difficult of life circumstances and still be filled with inexpressible joy, right? Only Jesus can make that possible. Because what greater is He who is in you than He who is in the world? Doesn't matter what comes at you. I mean, look at Jesus' life. He was opposed at every turn to the point that they wanted to kill Him, right? I mean, me and the kids just read the other day, you know, about young Jesus when He stood up and He quoted Isaiah. And I love what happened. He quoted Isaiah, you know, and He's like, you know, that the Lord has anointed me to bind the brokenhearted, right? To free those who are held in captivity. And everyone's rejoicing, you know, at this word. And Jesus is like, this word is fulfilled here in your presence. And the next thing you know, they drove Him to a cliff to kill Him. You know, just, whoa, talk about 180, you know? But what I love is that the presence of God brings the opposite 180, right? Because only through Jesus Christ, whenever we give our lives to Him, does He not only give us a new heart, give us His Holy Spirit, take away all of our sin, all of our shame, all of our condemnation, all of our guilt, but He is able to transform who we are. That our name that used to be this person now means this. Do you understand what I'm saying? Your name takes on a whole new meaning. And think about, you know, the word Scrooge, right? Scrooge. Only through Jesus can that name be transformed from meaning somebody who is just bah humbugging everything that's good, miserable through life, grumping at everybody, all about work, 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 no play, and transform that so that to be a Scrooge is to be one of the most generous and joy-filled people that you will ever meet, right? And since this kind of transformation can happen, because it is entirely possible, this isn't just some fairy tale that, you know, Dickens wrote so many years ago. It's based on true life. Jesus can take anyone in any circumstance and can radically transform them. He literally makes us a new creation through Him. It's amazing to think about. But because we know that this is possible, when we've experienced that transformation, we learn something. And that is to never look at anyone the same again. To never look at someone's life in the same way again. But rather to rise up, because God called us, what, a nation of prophets. God has called us to raise up in the gift of prophecy, to see people not only as they are, but to see through all that to the person that God created every single person to be. And in fact, Paul goes on here in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 16 to 21, and it's shortened up here. He says, so from now on, we no longer regard, or I'm sorry, from now on, we regard no one from a worldly point of view. Though we once regarded Christ in this way, we do so no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old is gone and the new is here. All this is from God, who reconciled us to Himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. And reconciliation is all about righting wrongs. It's all about taking differences and eliminating them. so that you can just agree to disagree and have relationship restored. Isn't that what God has done for us through Jesus Christ? That God was reconciling the world to himself in verse 19, in Christ, no longer counting people's sins against them. And he has also committed to us the message of reconciliation. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. And we implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. And if I could have the ushers come forward and start handing out the elements of communion, we're going to end the service that way. We, think about this reality. We deserving of hell because of our selfishness and because of our sin, God chose to make us righteous. Totally wiped clean, pure, holy in his sight. We who are deserving of death are instead given a promotion. We're not only given eternal life, we're given a promotion to be his ambassador, to represent Jesus Christ, to represent him here in this world. It's amazing. You know, we've been given this promotion that we appeal that all people be transformed by the great unfailing love of God. We're who are deserving to be cut off from God altogether. He should have nothing to do with us whatsoever. We are instead adopted as his own children. And I'm thankful I've never had to experience that, but you know, ask like little Anna, you know, what that feels like to be adopted into a loving family who cares about you so deeply. We are adopted into the family of God. It's amazing. What a glorious thing. And it's all made possible by the birth of Jesus Christ, God's one and only Son. And that's why Christmas time is such a reason to celebrate. Because of everything that was made possible because of it. We have the divine blessing and choice to become a brand new creation. We don't have to be the person we used to be. And the awesome thing is, I'm not just talking about before you accept Christ and after you accept Christ. I'm talking the person that you walk through these doors, who you were, you don't have to be anymore. You can choose to be a new creation through Christ. You can choose to lay down every part of your life, those parts that you can't stand about yourself. God will do a powerful work in your life to transform that into his likeness. You know, we don't have to walk around through life with our past labeled on our forehead. We're not that person anymore. God gave us the ability to tear that label off and to place his label on us. A dearly loved child of God. Dearly beloved. Free! Right? I mean, you can go on and on and on. Redeemed. All these things that you are through Christ. You're forgiven of your past. We get to throw off those old selves and embrace the new self he created us to be. And it's all made possible by this ancient prophecy that we find in Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 9, verse 2 through 7. And it says this, and this was you and I. The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of deep darkness, a light has dawned. You have enlarged the nation and increased their joy. They rejoice before you as people rejoice at the harvest, as warriors rejoice when dividing the plunder. For as in the day of Midian's defeat, you have shattered the yoke that burdens them. Wow, thank you, Jesus, for breaking that yoke that binds us. He shattered the bar across our shoulders, the rod of their oppressor. Every warrior's boot used in battle and every garment rolled in blood will be destined for burning, will be fuel for the fire. Why? For unto us a child is born, and unto us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and Prince of Peace. Of the greatness of his government and peace, there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing it and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on. That was the time that Jesus was born, until forever. And it is the zeal of the Lord Almighty that will accomplish this. The zeal of the Lord Almighty. So this morning we celebrate with joy, right? With joy that Christ has come. He came. He hung on the cross and he said, "It is finished. Paid in full, complete. You don't have to struggle anymore." He did all the hard work. He lived the perfect life. He faced all the weaknesses that you face. He faced all the temptation that you face. Yet he overcame it all. And he said, "Here, now you overcome everything in life, mighty warrior. Overcome." This prophetic word was surrounded by military terminology, right? You're a mighty warrior. And everything that the enemy has stolen from you, every weapon that he has formed against you, I love that, the scepter, or the rod of the oppressor, what's Jesus going to do? Crumble it. Everything the enemy is using against you is useless at this point. Jesus will crumble it. And he will enable you to overcome everything in life. How great is our God? The sad thing is, although our God is so unbelievable, we are so forgetful. And that's why Jesus gave us communion. He said to do this, what? In remembrance of me. Because, oh, Jesus, how quickly we forget. How quickly we forget who we are. Everything we've been given, right? And so this Christmas Eve, we're going to end the service by celebrating communion. And we just ask that you've received the Lord as your Savior. You know, it's that easy. He did all the hard work. In fact, it says that it is by the grace of God that we've been saved, Ephesians chapter 2. It's not on your own. It's not by work so that you can boast. It's the gift of God that is received through our faith. So let's just go to the Lord in prayer. So right now, Jesus, we believe in you, that you were the eternal God, wrapped in flesh, lived the perfect sinless life, and then gave it up for me. Jesus, I thank you for forgiving my sins. Lord, you know the Grinch that I can be. You know the storms that rage inside of me. And right now, Jesus, I'm just handing it all over to you. I am desperate for your peace. I am desperate for your forgiveness. Jesus, come be my Lord. Take my life. And let it just stand as a testimony to your great love and what you can do through a broken person like me. Thank you so much, Jesus, for all you've done. Amen. Well, at this time, we're going to take the elements. Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians chapter 11. I've said it so many times, surely I know by heart. We're going to put it to the test, right? And he wrote and he said, "For I received from the Lord that which I also gave to you. Know that on the night that Jesus was betrayed," and I love it, "he reclined at the table." You guys get to do that with your families. Just kick back and just enjoy their presence. When he did that, he included Judas. He included Judas when he called him friend. Jesus said that he had longed for that night, that he could celebrate the Passover feast with them. And Paul reminds us that Jesus, that he took the bread, and Jesus said that this is my body, which is for you. To do this in remembrance of me. He raised it up and he gave thanks. He gave thanks for his body that was going to be broken. And there's only one reason that he was thankful for that. Because remember, he begged in the Garden of Gethsemane that if there was any other way to take it away. Yet knowing that he was the only one that could do that job, he rejoiced because he saw you and I restored to his Heavenly Father, having just an open relationship with him because of his body that was broken. And so, Lord Jesus, we thank you so much for your body that was broken for me. Thank you so much, Lord Jesus. In your name, amen. You may eat. And it said, in the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant which is for you. This cup was his blood, representing his blood that was going to be poured out for us. Because we all know that without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sin. There's no covering for sin. So Jesus did away with the old things, the things that were a foreshadowing of him. He himself became that Passover lamb, perfect, holy, spotless, never sinned, overcame absolutely everything that he faced in life. Yet he chose to pay the price for sin so that he could freely give it away as a gift to us. Lord Jesus, on this Christmas Eve, saying thank you, Jesus, is just not enough. But we are so eternally grateful for your blood that was shed so that I can be forgiven and free, so that my sin and shame and condemnation can be wiped clean, and that I can come boldly into your throne of grace, boldly into your presence, and seen as holy and righteous. Jesus, it's the greatest gift that we've ever received, and we thank you for it. In your name, amen. And of course, Jesus said to do this in remembrance of him. Until what? Until he returns again. Because he is coming again. The Lord and Lord of kings and kings. Amen.